Can I give you, excuse me, a very warm welcome to our service of Holy Communion this morning. And a very special welcome back to our much-loved rector, Dave, the shepherd of this flock. You'll be pleased to know, Dave, we have not wandered off. Well, not too far anyway. Our theme is journeying with God, and Dave is going to share some of the things that he discovered and enjoyed on his sabbatical. He's got a busy morning because he'll be preaching here and he's due to preach down at St. Andrew's. So if you see him disappear, that's because he's got another flock down there. Let's stand to begin our service together. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Together we pray, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to still our hearts and come among us, because we stand on holy ground when we're in his presence. Let's sit or kneel for that necessary time of confession, because if the Lord is here and his presence is with us, like Peter, we might feel to say, depart from me, for I am a sinful person. But he stays with us. So love the world that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let's confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, saying together, Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon us, pardon and deliver us from all our sins, and confirm and strengthen us in all goodness. Keep us in life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now I think Andrew's going to come and read to us.
The reading today is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 33, verses 7 through 17. And may be found on page 92 of the church Bibles. The Tent of Meeting. Now Moses used to take a tent and pitch it outside the camp some distance away, calling it Tent of Meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the Tent of Meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and stood at the entrances of their tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance, while the Lord spoke with Moses. Whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, they all stood and worshipped, each at the entrance to his tent. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Moses and the glory of God. Moses said to the Lord, You've been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you're pleased with me, teach me your way so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. The Lord replied, My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anybody know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's so lovely to look out and see all your faces. I've missed you all lots, and it's been a bit of a funny time not seeing many people for 3 months. It's been good in others, but I've missed seeing people. But I want to start by just saying a huge thank you to all those particularly who have carried all the extra stuff while I've been away. This place hasn't just kept going. I've heard so many stories of how God's been at work and how it's flourished. And I'm so grateful to have an amazing team of people, and particularly Jeff, just holding the fort to keep this going. So thank you so much for that. And thank you so much, too, for all your prayers for me and also the financial support for my sabbatical. It is so appreciated, and I was very aware of it in my time away. I'm going to share a little bit of just what's been going on, just a few stories. It's so hard to know what to share and what not to share. But what I'm not going to do this morning is give great revelations of how the church is now going to be, now I've come back for sabbatical, because actually that's not what God's done. And so please don't expect that. Actually, that's what we are seeking to discover together. But I've not come back with amazing big revelations. But I think I've come back with a little bit more of an understanding of who God is. And that's really what I wanted to share with you this morning. But let's first of all pray. Lord, thank you that you are God, and that you are so much bigger and more powerful and more loving than we could ever know. And just as we reflect a little bit together now, would you meet us by your presence and draw us to you? In the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to share a little bit of my campervan pilgrimage that I did around Scotland. And I was really struck by a phrase that Pete Gregg used. Some of you may have followed Pete Gregg's Lectio as he journeyed around a few weeks after I'd come back. And he talked about pilgrimage being journeying with God in search of God. I love that phrase, journeying with God in search of God. And in many ways, you know, actually I think that's not just a great description of pilgrimage, it's a great description of life itself, isn't it? We journey with God in search of God, seeking to know God better. And I think I want to share some of the things where I found God in different ways, in different places on my journey. And right back at the start of my sabbatical, when I was at St. Bino's before heading up to Scotland in North Wales, God gave me this verse from Exodus 33, from the passage we've just read. And just to say a little bit of the context of this verse and the context of the passage we've just had, you know, Moses has just been up Mount Sinai to collect the Ten Commandments, and Aaron and the rest of the people of Israel have been down below. And while the leader's been away, those down below have got it all wrong, haven't they? And they made their golden calf. And actually, when Moses came back and found them worshipping the golden calf instead of God, he was a bit cross. And God was a bit cross too. And God said, you know, actually, because of what you've done, I'm not going to journey with you anymore, because I might destroy you along the way. It's really powerful stuff. And here we find Moses, if you like, going into the tent of meeting. And what he was doing, in effect, was pleading with God to say, please come with us. Please don't leave us on our own, because actually your presence with us is everything. And he says here, right at the end, God says to him, he says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And in many ways, that was the verse for my sabbatical. For me, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And I did find rest. But actually, I learned something more about God's presence too. And I want to share some stories of that and some encounters. I want to, first of all, take you up to the Outer Hebrides, to the island of Lewis, to the town of Barvas. It's quite a nothing town. That's what I was really surprised at. There's really nothing there other than a few streets. If you went there, it would be a totally boring, unexpected, nothing place. And yet that's where God decided to move in a dramatic way between 1949 and 1952 in what's known as the Hebridean Revival, perhaps the last significant revival in the British Isles that we've had. And I was just struck by, you know, it's so typical of God, isn't it? God decides not to choose the places that we would choose to be at work, but he chooses the nobody places. He chooses the nothing places so often. And I heard some amazing stories from different people, and as I read different accounts of just the difference that the presence of God made. You know, the deep presence of God descended for those 3 years into that community centered on this church here, Barvas Church. And it transformed people. And it transformed the communities in incredible ways. It all started, actually, with a few people gathering to pray. It was a community at prayer. You know, I learnt a little bit more. You know, so often we hear the stories, if you've read stories of the Hebridean Revival, about the two old ladies, Peggy and Christine Smith, who prayed. But I think as I talked to people, as I read more accounts, you know, there was a sense of more than just those two people praying. It was a group of people, a community at prayer, crying out for God's presence. And actually, it would have been in a barn or a black house, just like this, if you can just about see it. One of the old-fashioned houses where actually one day, suddenly one evening, the account says around 10 o'clock, a young deacon stood up and read, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who should stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart." He then challenged the group, "Are our hands clean? Are our hearts pure?" And as these men continued in soul-searching repentance in the early hours of the morning, the awesome presence of God suddenly swept into that place. Some fell prostrate on the floor. Revival had come, and the power that was let loose in that barn shook the whole community of Lewis. It's a remarkable story. And as I heard more of the stories, you know, I heard of actually, you know, after that event, people would flood to the churches at 3 o'clock in the morning. People would be crowding in every night to hear the word of God. There was a new hunger there. There would be grown men who would be at the harbours mending their nets and actually would come under this amazing presence of God, which convicted them that their lives were not the lives that God wanted them to live. And for days on end, they would just be there in tears, crying out to God. And then God would move. And they'd be filled with God's forgiveness and God's love. And God's power and God's joy. You know, I managed to meet up with this guy. This is a guy called Willie McLeod, who's 97. And I managed to bump into him in his greenhouse next to Barvas Church. And he was converted in 1949 at the start of the revival. And he sat there in his greenhouse and told me stories of just the joy and the peace and the transformation that this presence of God brought. And as I was listening to him, you know, what I was struck more than anything was by the simplicity of it. You know, it wasn't massive programs, it wasn't massive whole load of planned things at all. It was simply the word of God being preached and people's hearts being opened as God moved in those places. They had no altar calls, but just God met people and God brought people. God convicted people of sin. There was a deep conviction, a deep awareness that people weren't living their lives in the way that God wanted to. The presence of God came in an extraordinary way, in an unexpected place, because God turned up. And it might feel quite strange to think, actually, you know, that's so far away from, you know, everything we're aware of. But as I've come back and heard stories this week, you know, I've heard stories of people just being drawn to church, just like actually the stories I heard in Lewis. You know, the power of God draws people, and we just press into that. The power of God comes in extraordinary ways, like it did in Lewis, but also, actually, there was a second half to my travelling. And that was where I was particularly reflecting on Celtic Christianity, just journeying from Iona, the holiest island in Scotland, to Lindisfarne, the holiest island in England. I took a slightly longer route than most people do. But as I did, and as I read up about just some of the great saints, St. Columbus, St. Aidan, St. Cuthbert, and how those early Christians of the 6th and 7th century were, you know, I got a different sense of the presence of God too. It's described here by one commentator just saying, you know, in Celtic Christianity, there was a real sense of the presence of God in the ordinary, in the normal. A God who is present alongside, behind, before, after, below. God as companion, as guest, as fellow traveller, and as friends. And I think in many ways, you know, it was those reflections that actually was even more powerful for me, learning what it means, not just to see God as this massive, awesome God, the God of the revivals, the God who's almost out of reach, but the God who comes to draw alongside, the God who walks with us. There's a real sense in those early Christians in just following that Celtic way of life, of God presence, tangibly present in the here and now, in the ordinary. Seeing God in creation, you know, working with God. There were lovely stories of how when they worked on their looms, you know, there'd be special prayers they would say, which was drawing God into their very work. As they did the chores around the house, you know, God was so present in every aspect they did. Putting the fire out at night would be a prayer to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. One person said this: everything that they touched, every tool that they handled, was done with respect and reverence. Every activity performed with a sense of the presence of God. Indeed, done in partnership with Him. So I think for me, you know, as I travelled, you know, I tried more than I've ever done before to model this stuff, to really travel as God, with God, as companion beside me. So to practice this, to see God in nature, to see God in each and everything that I was doing. And I think a particularly a moment where I just was really aware of God's presence. It was actually right back quite early on at the start. I went for a walk and found myself just laying down on a broken tree overlooking the Great Orne in North Wales. And actually, as I lay there and as I dwelt there with God, I found myself really opening up to God and actually speaking about how alone I felt and really opening my heart to God. And there, as I did that, I felt God say one thing to me. I felt Him say, I want to invite you into a deeper friendship with me. I want to invite you into a deeper friendship. And it drew me back again to this verse in Exodus 33. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And I think when you're travelling on your own for so long, actually, what you learn to do is you learn to actually engage with God a bit differently. I think I learned to speak to God, to see God so much more as the friend travelling beside me. Some of you who read my blog will know that actually, perhaps the end of my journey, not literally, but the end of my, where God, the destination that God really brought me to was this place here. This is Holy Island, is Lindisfarne. You can see Holy Island in the background there. And actually at the front here is just a little island, a little islet, which actually gets cut off when the tide comes in, but when the tide goes out, you can walk across to it. And this was the little islet that actually St. Cuthbert had a little hermitage on. He would escape to this island and just get away from it all and just sit there and be with God and pray. And actually just the site of where he had his hermitage, you can just see they've now put a cross where the altar was, and there's little stones around there. And I sat underneath that cross for a long time, just reflecting on the whole journey, reflecting on the amazing just presence of God, dramatic presence of God I'd seen in Lewis, reflecting on just the Celtic way of journeying with God as friend and companion. And it was as if at that point, you know, all those things came together underneath the cross. And God met me in a new way and just simply said, "You're deeply loved. You're deeply loved. That is all that matters." And in many ways, you know, that was what I needed to hear, I think. That's what so many of us need to hear, isn't it? That we're deeply, deeply loved. I'd love to say that I'm an utterly transformed and different person coming back from having these experiences. But the reality is that actually, if I'm honest, coming back to the busyness of normal life, it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to find the time to stop and the space to stop and encounter the presence of God in the ways which I've been fortunate to do. But I'm learning, and I'm open to God coming and encountering me afresh. And I want to finish with one quote from Pete Gregg, which has really struck with me. And this, I think he said this on one of his recent videos on his own pilgrimage. And he was particularly reflecting on charismatic spirituality. And he said, in charismatic spirituality, we seem to spend our time trying to reach something. It's almost as if God is always slightly out of reach. But what if God is the most normal and natural thing in life? And that it's sin and distraction and busyness that stops us, not from finding him, but from finding that we've already been found by him. In other words, what if we have a spirituality that is about relaxing into God's presence and finding him not just in the bright lights and the hyped emotion, but actually finding him in normality? I found that so profound and so helpful. And I think each and every one of us can make that our prayer, to find God in normality, in the normal things, taking time to just dwell and relax in God's presence. God says, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." I want to finish with just a song which has been really important to me on my journey. a song which I found playing on my iPad as I drove on to Lindisfarne, and a song that I also found playing on my iPad as I drove into Malvern. And it was as if God was saying, actually, you don't need to travel around and go out to those places to find me, to find that holy land. We are standing right here on holy ground too. And whoever we are, wherever we've been, whatever our experience, God is here longing to draw us close to us, longing for us to know him as friends, as fellow traveller on the journey. So I'm going to play this song and just invite you, allow God to speak to you, whatever he wants to speak to you today, as we reflect on his presence with us. Or maybe not. Try again. No, Andy? Okay. It's coming.
Jesus.
So let us stand on this holy ground and acknowledge together what we believe as we sing together. We believe in God the Father and declare to the powers in the universe that Jesus is Lord of all. Let's stand together. Let's sit together and Paul's going to come and lead our intercessions.
So let's continue in prayer. Just to stay with some of those words that we've been given this morning, the sense of the presence of God for each of us, in whatever situation we are at the moment in our lives, even in our worship this morning, hearts open to the Lord. And maybe, as Dave says, in some unexpected way, and in the ordinary, God to meet with us, finding God in the ordinary. And that sense of God longing for us. And we we've got this lovely scripture up on our screen from Psalm 103. If I say the words in yellow, can we all say it in the white? Bless the Lord, O my soul.
And all that is within me, bless your holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. What do you bless the Lord with this morning? I wondered if maybe just a few of us can, just in a word, sentence, just something in your life that you bless the Lord for. Say it in your heart if you feel able. Be lovely to say it aloud so that we're with you. And as you say how the Lord is blessing you in something, that we too can just say, bless the Lord, O my soul. So just anybody, just speak up something that the Lord's blessing you in your life. Doesn't matter if two speak at the same time, it's fine. I'll start off, Lord, just bless you for the freedom to come to worship this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord for the peace he gives me.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So again, let us say these words, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name. What do you pray for yourself this morning? Whatever you pray, just bring it to the Lord in the ordinariness of your life, of my life, in the unexpected. Just in the quiet, just say, Lord, this is my prayer this morning for my life, my precious life, which only I can live. And when you've said something to the Lord in your heart, then say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name. You should find in a chair, your chair or chair near to you, a prayer of St. Columba. Dave's been talking about going to Iona, and Columba really was the founder of the monastery there. He lived there for 34 years in the 6th century, and this is a prayer which I've been carrying this in my pocket all week and had it by my bed as well, so maybe you just hang on to it. Just a moment, just quietly read it, and then, and if you're online, you won't have this prayer, but we can somehow get it to you if you'd like to be in touch with somebody here who's in the church here. I think it would be great if we just say this prayer together. It's such amazing words, really, about this journeying with God, the theme of this morning. Can we say these words just together? Alone with none but thee, my God, I journey on my way. What need I fear when thou art near, O King of night and day? More safe am I within thy hand than if a host should round me stand. Put it by your bed tonight. Wonderful prayer, or keep it in your handbag or in your pocket in the week. And we come to pray for others on our heart. Somebody who you know of, and you care for them and long for them and want God to bless them in whatever way God wants to do. Just quietly name somebody before God in your prayer. Again we say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. And in our parish, we pray, continue to pray for Shirley, for Derek, their family, day by day for strength. And some of us have been praying for the family of Nick and Val Fain, their son John, their St. Andrew's people, and John's had a very bad accident, is being flown home after an operation. And so we offer Lord John to you and that whole family. And then for our brother Paul Southern, whose father died aged 101 this last week, a real believer. And a real sense, Paul says, in his family, of relief that he's gone to be with the Lord. Lord, thank you for that man. Thank you that he now can rest in peace and is with the angels around us, as we were singing, hearing sung just now, the crowd of witnesses, the angels around us, nearer to us than ever we can imagine. Anyone else you just bring to the Lord who needs your prayer. And in our parish we pray too very much for Dave and Alice, Josh and Eleanor, that their whole families, they come together again. In our diocese, Bishop John and Bishop Martin, all the burden that they carry, responsibility they carry for us all, and for Archbishop Justin, all that he bears for the Church of England in this country. Lord, perhaps we can say these words again, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless your holy name. And we just end with the just holding a place or country that's in your heart. I'll just hold this globe, and there may just be a country that is on your heart, or a place or a people. Maybe just call it out with the words quietly in our heart, for God's power and presence upon that people and that nation. Just call out, if you will, a nation of people in your heart.
Yeah.
we're going to maintain that sense of the presence and holiness of God as we sit and sing together, as we approach this communion time to the river I am going. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Father, Lord of all creation. In your love you made us for yourself. When we turned away, you did not reject us, but came to meet us in your Son. You embraced us as your children and welcomed us to sit and eat with you. In Christ you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. He opened his arms of love upon the cross and made for all the perfect sacrifice for sin. On the night he was betrayed at supper with his friends, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Father, we do this in remembrance of him. His blood is shed for all. As we proclaim his death and celebrate his rising in glory, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us the body and blood of your dear Son. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us one in Christ, our risen Lord, with your whole church throughout the world. We offer you this sacrifice of praise and lift our voice to join the eternal song of heaven. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Together we pray. Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs from under your table. But you are the God of our salvation, and you share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with your precious body, blood of your Son, that he may live and we in him, and that we, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. We come now to the end of our service, saying to the Lord, "I surrender all, my blessed Saviour." Janet's going to play the first verse and the chorus, and then we'll join in. Please stand. Thank you. Lord, we surrender all to you, including these gifts. We offer them to you now as a token of our love, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit for the blessing. Now may the love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself, the power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service, and the joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Let us go in peace to love and serve the Lord in the name of Christ.